There's an old, old, old story about St. Peter that's not in the scriptures. Peter, who was a simple fisherman, Peter, whose brother Andrew introduced him to Jesus. Don't forget that. It was Andrew that introduced. Andrew was the first one called, okay? Peter, who gave up his life of fishing and took on this call to be a fisher of men and got to see Jesus teach and preach and heal and raise people from the dead. Peter, who was the first one to say this sentence, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, who floundered in his faith, who eventually denied that he even knew Jesus, who watched him be brutally killed and then waited anxiously to see what was going to happen to his Lord, our Lord, joyously gets to greet him on that resurrection day. Jesus rises from the grave. And then Peter, who boldly goes out into Jerusalem and then to other parts of the world to tell others who this is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Peter was in Rome, eventually he comes to the head of the empire, to Rome, and Christians are being persecuted en masse, and they're trying to exterminate anybody who professes the name of Christ. And Peter sort of sees his impending doom, that the day of his reckoning is coming too. The story, very, very old, is that Peter one day leaves Rome, that he goes on one of the most ancient roads in all of the world, the Appian Way, and he's leaving Rome. And on his way out of Rome, fleeing his potential martyrdom, his potential execution, as he's walking along, he sees Jesus, a vision of Jesus carrying his cross, walking into the city. And the famous quote Peter says to Jesus in Latin, he says, "Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord? Quo vadis?" And Jesus says back to him, "I'm going into Rome to be crucified again." And at that point, Peter becomes convicted, and he has to turn the question back on himself. Where am I going? Not where is the Lord going necessarily, but where am I going? All this time that I've spent with the Lord, why now? Why now would I abandon him? It was Peter in John chapter 6 when Jesus looks at all the other followers, his followers who were there as Jesus gives the bread of life discourse. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And then it says, some of them fell away. And then Jesus turns to his apostles and he says, "Will you also leave me?" And Peter's the one who says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And now in this weak and feeble moment, we find Peter fleeing whatever it is that the Lord has in front of him. So at this point, he asks the question, "Where am I going? Why stop now? To whom shall we go?" And so Peter goes back into the city. And it's weeks later that Peter's eventually arrested and crucified there next to the Vatican Hill, and his friends bury him there, and Pope Leo XIV celebrated Mass on top of his tomb today. This is what we do. This is our faith. This is the church. It is so beautiful, and we're proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. But today, this feast of Saints Peter and Paul, it's not all about them. When we celebrate the saints, they're just these small little lights compared to him who is true light. That all this originates from the heart of God our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. Through him were made saints like Peter, like Paul, saints in the making, like you guys, all of you. That you and I are small lights in imitation of the light that God the Father brings into the world. And it's from the Father's heart. It's from the Father's heart that he always knew he wanted to bring his children to himself. And so in the Old Testament, we have this idea of the kingdom of Israel, that God was gathering his people together. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he's going to establish a new and eternal covenant, a new kingdom. John the Baptist has to come and tell us, command us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As Jesus tells us, the kingdom is in your midst. It's already in you. And yet there's still so much more. And I think we think of the kingdom as some ethereal, abstract thing. But what if Jesus meant it to be real? And in any kingdom, there has to be a king. And there has to be officers. And there has to be citizens. And there has to be rules. And there has to be instruction. There has to be a culture. There has to be community. And then at the top of it all sits Jesus, King and Master, King and Lord. But he knows that he's going to ascend to his Father. In the Old Testament, when a king would be away at war, on diplomatic relations, on vacation, he would always leave a steward behind, someone to tend this vineyard, to make sure that no foreign invaders came in, made sure that everybody was fed, that people had what they needed, and a steward would watch over. And the king would ceremoniously hand over the keys to his kingdom. So we have in this scene today in the gospel that Jesus has this encounter with Peter. He's wondering what people are saying about him, but he's far more interested in what his friends think. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets," which honestly should be a compliment. If you guys said, "Father Andrew's like John the Baptist," I'd be like, "Oh, yeah." Take my camel hair out of my closet, start wearing it around. That'd be an amazing compliment. But Jesus says, there's something greater than Solomon here. There's something greater than Jonah here. There's something greater than John the Baptist and Elijah. It's not enough. Yes, Jesus is a prophetic voice. Is that all that he is? Just a nice do-gooder who talks nice? And Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Testing the hearts of his friends. And Peter, Simon, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We have to get Jesus right. We have to get Jesus right. He can't just be one of many things in my life. It can't be like, I've got work, and I've got friends, and I've got social media, and I've got studies, and I watch a lot of sports, and I read a bunch of things, and then there's a little bit of Jesus on the side. It's a recipe for disaster. We'll be scattered from inside out. Tormented, honestly. Jesus is the king that orders all things well, according to his designs, not my own. Quo vadis, where are you going? And so Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." This starts from the heart of our Father in heaven. And it's communicated to every human heart that wants to receive him. And so I say to you, you are Peter. That name never existed until this moment. You know that? It's a Greek word that means rock, Petra. That was not a name. Jesus just invented a name. He's done many things. He's the best nicknamer of them all. Simon was a real name. Peter was not a name until this moment. You are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. This church is Jesus' kingdom here on earth and in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so long as you and I are here on earth, this kingdom is one that we exist in. It's one that Jesus gives us truth. It's one that Jesus gives us life. It's one where he restores our soul. And one way he does that primarily, in this desire from the Father's heart to renew all things, to bring us into union with him. Jesus is not only king, he's also, he tells us, he reveals to us, he is the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom in pursuit of his bride, the church. And it's his desire that the bride would be in union with him. And when we come to Mass, we get to receive the Lord in Holy Communion. That this unification of both body and soul happens every time we receive him in Holy Communion. That we are given the bread of life so that we might be able to do as Peter and Paul did. To be able to know who Christ Jesus is, what that means for my life, and be the deciding factor in where I am going. we cannot flee from the hard things that the Lord puts in front of us. We don't want small hearts. We want big hearts. We don't want to run away when things are difficult. We want to persevere. We want to endure. We want to fight. We want to be engaged in the battle as Jesus sets the precedent before us. Once again, Jesus fell 3 times on the way to the cross, and 3 times he gets back up. You and I, as members of this kingdom, members, brides, part of the bride, the church, we have to remember that God always moves first. This originates in the heart of God, our Heavenly Father, in the Christian response to God's first movement. God chose us first, and anything after that is our response to his loving invitation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have to get Jesus right. But we have to ask ourselves, where is it that we are going? Quo vadis, Domine.